Peter here, and I just want to speak to you tonight. And we're looking at this series still, and our vision for this year is this: join us in building community. In the morning, we're looking at two of the first letters that Paul wrote to the what we call the local churches, and in the evening, we're looking at this, letters to the big city church, and it's the church in Corinth. And tonight, we're looking at this. This is our, we're up to this in 1 Corinthians 12, spiritual gifts. Now, this church in Corinth, just a little reminder. So Corinth was this big cosmopolitan city, and lots of things happening there. And this church is planted there. Now, again, let's get this straight. It's not, you've got to get out in your minds that all of a sudden there's this like 3,000 in attendance ASA, every Sunday attendance, on a Sunday church. It wasn't like that at all. It started in somebody's front room. It was probably a missional community, a mid-sized group, probably got up to about 50 or 60. It didn't work like that at all because they couldn't meet anywhere that size because there wasn't anywhere that size. And they probably got beaten up anyway. So when they started to grow, they went into other people's homes and they invited their friends along and their business colleagues along. And when it grew, they went into somebody else. And then all of a sudden, somebody who was rather better off and had a bigger house with a courtyard at the back and a fountain. And so they met there and squeezed more in. So this is how this church grew. So it's very exciting. And as we've seen up to now in the first 11 chapters, very, very exciting. However, as we've seen up to now in the evenings, there were issues in this church. Ah, there's always issues in the church. It was the same 2,000 years ago. And the issues were to do with conduct. How you conduct yourselves as church, as followers of Jesus. And there were issues about relationships, how they related to each other, particularly with regard to sexual immorality. We looked at that a few weeks ago. How relationships were breaking down in marriage, divorce, the big questions about that. There were divisions in the church. Well, it didn't take long, did it? And worship. What are we doing in worship? What does worship actually mean? Issues around that. And then we get to this thing that it's about spiritual gifts. So this is, you'll see what Paul says to this in the scriptures in a moment. But all this stuff's happening. And it looks as though it's all problems. Well, it's not. Because it's exciting and it's growing and Jesus is there and the Holy Spirit's moving and people are coming to faith. But these things are going to happen. Because the next chapter on is this famous chapter, which we're not doing tonight, which is the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, which is all about, the word is love. Who said love? And we're from the south, it's love. We're from Sheffield, it's all about love. Okay, repeat after me on three. One, two, three. That's better. Let's have it. Come on, if we're going to do it. That's how they pronounced it in Corinth, love. Okay. And so he's going to spell out all these challenges and conflicts and issues you have. Love is the way. Because God is love. We've not got to it yet. Just before that, it gives a little taster on what spiritual gifts, what does it mean to have spiritual gifts? Because there was a lot of discussion about it. And so let's look at what this scripture says, these first 10 or 11 verses. So it's in the Message version. If you look at the blue Bible in front of you, it won't relate to this, but you'll get the general picture. This is the Message version of the Bible. So this is what he says to the church. Okay, so this would have been read out to the church. Somebody read it out because not everybody had the Bible or a codex or a script in front of them. So somebody would have read this out. So he says this: what I want to talk to you about now is the various ways God's Spirit gets worked into our lives. Don't you like that? It's kind of like kneading into our lives, a bit like kneading bread. Kneading it in. That's what he's saying. This is how God works stuff into our lives. There's various ways. Now he says, this is complex and often misunderstood, but I want you to be informed and knowledgeable. This is a top tip for all of us. If you say you're a Christian, a disciple of Jesus, you have to use your brain. Okay? God has given us a brain, and we have to use it. We have to work this stuff out. The Bible uses a phrase called on the anvil of faith. We have to hammer out like a blacksmith on an anvil. You have to hammer this stuff out. And it's good. That's why we have midweek communities, so we can talk together and wrestle with what the Bible is saying. And some people come and they're full of faith, and other people come and they've got hardly any faith. And we've got to wrestle with this stuff. We've got to use our brains and our intelligence to work out what this faith means. Now, in our time, with your friends and your colleagues, what does it mean? We need to be knowledgeable. That's why we are really pushing, listen to the podcast at this church. 5 days a week, Monday to Friday, you will get the Bible there in front of you. Stick your earbuds in, walk off to uni, go down to your lectures, walk off to work, get in the car, listen to it, and a thought for the day from one of our staff team. The Bible 5 times a week, week after week after week. Listen to it, read it, listen to it, read it. Talk about it with friends. There's no substitute for this. So, you need to be informed and knowledgeable. Let's see what he says next. Remember, remember, which means in the original text, remember. Remember how you were when you didn't know God. Led from one phony God to another, never knowing what you were doing, just doing it because everybody else did it. Does that sound familiar? Sound familiar? Just doing stuff because everybody else, all your mates did it. Well, not go through the list, but the list. Yeah, that's what I did when I was, before I became a Christian. It's what everyone else did. I joined in with it because it was like, well, everybody else is doing it. Everybody else was borrowing stuff from work on long-term loan, brackets, theft, close brackets. So everybody did it. I mean, it's the company's stuff. I mean, you just go to the store cupboard, go to the stationery cupboard. You open the cupboard and there's loads of paper and pens and stuff. And, oh, if I take it, you know, one of the people will come along and fill the cupboard up again. It's like Aladdin's cave. So there was a different way to live your life. But he says, no, it's different in this life. God wants us to use our intelligence, there it is again, to seek to understand as well as we can. So he's starting this conversation going. So he's saying, think about this. There's a different way of living. Use your mind. Use your intelligence. It's not the old life, the way you used to live. There's something new happening. Let's go on and see what he says here. For instance, he gives an example here. By using our heads, your heads, you know perfectly well that the Spirit of God would never prompt anyone to say, Jesus be damned, or in the original text, Jesus be cursed, a curse on Jesus. I mean, we can't imagine saying that, can we? Nor would anyone be inclined to say, Jesus is master, or in the original Greek language, Lord, without the insight of the Holy Spirit. Before I became a Christian, I worked in a context with lots of men, and as an engineer, and it was commonplace to come out with, oh, Jesus Christ, as a swear word, or, oh, Christ. I'm just saying what it was. I never thought twice about that. When I became a Christian, when Jesus started mean something to me, when I heard that, I started to feel physically sick when people were saying that. I started to feel nauseous. And in the end, I had to tell the guys, would you stop saying that? Because I find it offensive. And they all went, what? I said, I just find it offensive. Find what offensive? What you've just said. Why? Because I'm a Christian and Jesus don't say that. I think Jesus is real. And it gave me a chance to give my little testimony about what Jesus meant to me. And they all went, okay, Mick. Now, just to give you context, I was their boss. They work for me, these engineers. So I was in a position of subtle authority, but I didn't play that card. I just went, you know, just want you done. They all went, no, that's fine. Seriously, they just went, we didn't understand that. In the same way, if somebody says that, you know, Jesus is Lord, or Jesus is in control of this, or you're basically saying, I believe Jesus is real and there's something about this. Even if you say, somebody says to you, but they're not a Christian, they've not said the little prayer at the back of the booklet. They're not really a Christian. They don't go to church. No, that's this. You see what it's saying? Use your mind. Somebody may go to church 40 years and be cussing and swearing all the time. So are they following Jesus? Somebody may never go to church, never go anywhere near a church, but there's something in them that honors God. See, it's challenging, this stuff. But I've been, you know, I know that guy's gone to church for 45 years, taking communion every Sunday, being a pillar of the church. But as soon as he steps out of the church door, his language, oh my goodness. So he's saying, think about this, let's move on. God's various gifts are handed out everywhere. They all originate in God's Spirit. God's various ministries are carried out everywhere, but they all originate in God's Spirit. You see, he's saying, think wider and broader than a label. He's saying the Spirit of God is moving everywhere. It's like saying there's God and there's love and there's God's love. I've said this before. It's kind of a person over there is not a Christian. They've not said this prayer, but they are such a loving person. They love their family. People love them. They're so generous and honoring. And so but they have a love for people. And if somebody over here is a Christian and they love people as well. Now, what do we say? There's God's love here and there's some other kind of love over there. No. God is love. Those who love live in God and God lives in them. But Meek, they've not said the prayer. Well, that's not for me to sort out. This is a bigger thing because God gives his gifts to whoever he says. It's nothing to do with us. It all originates in God's Spirit. God's various expressions of power are in action everywhere, but God himself is behind it all. But each person is given something to do that shows who God is. Everyone gets in on it. Everyone benefits. Now, this cuts straight across the church in Corinth. What was happening, and it happens today in the church, something like this. Here's the church. These guys are kind of like high up in the church. They're leaders, they're preachers, they're worship leaders, and they are like, they're on the platform. These are the platform people. And all these people are on the platform, and these are the ones. And then there's all these people down here, all these ordinary people. We're just ordinary. We just watch the people up there. They're the special ones doing everything. And then it went even further, because as the church got more and more over the centuries, they took some of these leaders and went, come over here, come with me. Go to a special place called a college and we will train you. And then when you're done, we'll give you some kind of recognition like a dog collar. And we'll make you a priest. That's what they did to me. I went through it. I went through that initiation. I joined the club. Seriously, what we did, we set apart a priestly caste, or even if it's not a priest, a leadership caste, a preaching caste. These are the preachers, the leaders, the priests. These are the ones who know what they're doing. And the rest of us, we just sit there. Where and how and when did we go so wrong? Because this scripture says this. Everybody's given something to do. Everyone gets in on it. Everyone benefits. In the original, it says this, the manifestation of the Spirit, and the word there in the original means the disclosure. The Holy Spirit goes, it's me. Bam, something for you. Bam, something for you. Something for you, something for you, something for you, something for you. And the guy on the platform, something for you as well. But you don't get any more than they get. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to everyone for the common good. So, who's making coffee at the end of this gathering? Who are the team that's on? Keep your hands in the air. We're going to honor you now. Put your hands in the air. Let's give these people a round of applause now. They are honored as much as the worship leader, Becca, tonight, or myself, or Tom. There's Ruth and Anthony on the balcony doing sound and visuals and all that. They are honored tonight. The people on the who did welcome tonight when people came in. Put your hands up. Over there. We honor you because the gifts God's given you are special. You had a smile on your face. Some of you. But we're training, don't worry about it. Seriously, it was brilliant, the welcome. It's really important, this, because Paul's trying to make a point here. We're all in on this. And over the years, what we've done with the churches, we've set everybody sat in the chairs. Look how we put church together. Chairs in a row. I mean, like, we'll all sit there. We'll watch the guy at the front, whether male or female. And they'll do stuff. That's why at this church, we try and cut under that. Because the heart of this church is communities of people who all get in on the act. Everybody's got something to do in the clusters and the small groups. And everybody benefits. Everyone. Not just a few. You see, church is not about being entertained. It's about being equipped. Let's move on. Let's see what he says. All kinds of things are handed out by the Spirit and to all kinds of people. The variety is wonderful. He's going to make a list in a minute, and this is the last slide about the list of gifts. But I think it's important to say, over the years I've seen this happen so many times, which is this. We all want to be affirmed. We all want to receive affirmation. If you do a good something good at uni or at school, you want teachers or you want lecturers or tutors or whatever, or if you're in the workplace, you want your boss or someone to affirm you. And it's right we do that. However, what I've seen in the church is this. It's the great danger. As soon as somebody gives you a microphone and you stand on a platform, we're desperate for affirmation. Did I do okay? What was the sermon like? What was the worship like? Did I look okay? Did it sound good? I thought I did. Do you think I did okay? Now, these are things going through people's heads. Some, we don't say that. You don't go up to people and go, was it good? Was it good? You're never going to answer me. I'll go over there to people who say always you are good. Even if you're rubbish, they say you are good. And so there's this slight caricature, but there's a danger. Affirmation, there's a danger in it. Because it's constantly forcing you at the center and not the God who put you there. I always say to the young preachers here, never, ever go and ask people what you were like. Wait at least 24 hours. I wait at least 24 hours before I go and speak to one of the young preachers what they were like. And it's always two encouragements, one challenge. 2-to-1 is a good ratio. Because we don't want to crush people, we want them to grow. But the gifts, as we're going to come on to now, are given for the common good. That's why we say here, God has got a message for us tonight. He chooses the messenger. It's me tonight. Next week it'll be someone else. This message of is enhanced and built up through worship. Tonight it was Becca leading the team. Next week it'll be someone else. Do you see what I mean? We all get to play. And here's a list. The variety is wonderful. Here's a list. Wise counsel. These are the gifts God gives. Clear understanding. Simple trust. Healing the sick. Miraculous acts. Proclamation. Distinguishing between spirits. Tongues. Interpretation of tongues. All these gifts have a common origin, but are handed out by one by one by this one Spirit of God. He decides who gets what and when. I'd like to turn to the person at the side of you now. What is God saying to you already tonight? Maybe this last slide. Maybe you've come to church tonight thinking, I would love to be able to pray for someone and they get well. Healing the sick, that's a gift. I would love to give wise counsel to people. I would love it if people came to me and said, what do you think? And you think, click, God's speaking to me. This is what I'm going to say. That's what that means there. I would love to be able to speak or sing in tongues. I would love to be, when somebody does some tongues somewhere, you know, that kind of everybody starts shabba-dabbering, shabba-dabba-dabba. I would be able to say, I understand that. I think God's saying that. Or maybe it's something else. We'll come on to that in a minute, okay? Or maybe already God's spoken to you about the sense that you never thought that you could be used by God. I'm too young, far too young. I'm still at school. I'm at uni. I'm too busy. I'm too old. I never thought that God could use me. What is it that God's saying to you? 1 minute with the person at the side of you. Would you do that now? And I'll bring you back. What's God saying to you already? Off you go. Buzz, 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 buzz. Okay, that's the minute. Remember that little conversation, because we're going to come back to that one, okay? Just bring this into land. We've got a song or two at the end, and then the cafe's open. But I'm going to ask us to respond tonight. The response, all these gifts here, I'm going to show you now, there's two more slides coming up, how the church sees this and has seen it in the past, and how many people see this whole thing of spiritual gifts. Those who understand it at all see it in two basic ways. But before that goes up, I want to tell you this. This is what's going to happen at the end of this little talk. I'm going to ask you, I'm going to invite you to come forward and receive a gift or gifts from God tonight. So even while I'm speaking now, what is it you would love to receive from God tonight? Lists are good, but never start a list, because it's you exhaust it. There are other two or three other scriptures in the New Testament which gifts of the Spirit are highlighted, but actually the list is endless. What is it? Somebody said to you now, what is it you would want from God for the common good? What would it be? I'll come back to that one. 7 or 8 minutes time. Two ways it's viewed. What is it you want from God? How you view it defines how you do it. Okay, this is how you view spiritual gifts. This is view number one. Spiritual gifts. Okay, spiritual gifts. This is view number one. It's toys for the tots. In other words, it's something God gives me for me. It makes me feel good. It's like a cuddly bear. Or Lego, whatever your thing is. So, it's the same with spiritual gifts. This is for me. It's to make me look good or feel good. That's what was happening in Corinth. People were asking for these gifts which would promote them rather than the God who gives it to them. Remember, Paul said, these gifts are for the common good. Just recently, an amazing man, Billy Graham, died. What an amazing man. And I hope when I finally get to glory, I hope the kind of, I don't know what the queuing system's like. I don't know if you go to one of those like machines where you take a ticket, you know, the Billy Graham queue. I want to speak to Billy. Get a ticket. 49,200,000. That's a long wait. I don't know, but I want to speak to Billy Graham. Billy Graham is an amazing man. And one of the great things about him was this. He never self-promoted himself. He never put himself beyond the God who'd called him to his work. It's a great model to have. And so for him, it's not toys for the tots. But I've seen it so often in the church, and I've seen it. People wanting these gifts that, God, would you give me this gift? Because it's kind of, basically, it's for me. I'm desperate for this gift. Question God always asks is it for the common good? Is it for the building up of others? The answer is no, you don't get it. But the other view that we have in the church, and this is the right view, is this. Not toys for the tots. It's actually tools for the task. A Bosch drill. These gifts are tools for the task. So, church, we've got a task to do. This stuff we've got to do. If you're a Christian, if you call yourself a Christian, God's saying this tonight, I have got in heaven shells after shells after shells, shells after shells, like CGI. You know when you look at CGI, you go into a room, it's like, wow, shelves, shelves of gifts. All ready to be taken off and cast down onto the earth, and it's for you. But it's a tool for a task he's calling you to do. What is that task he's calling you to do? What is the task He is calling you to do, because he has the tool for you to achieve that. And do you know what? We need to do this. I'm a Church of England minister. When I was ordained 28 years ago now, the church attendance in this country was 12.7% of the population. 5 years ago, just under, it was 6.3% of the population. I was at a meeting in London 3 weeks ago. It was a meeting to do with church planting. And it's now agreed that in the Church of England, and this will be released nationally, the figures are out, you can't kind of, you know, they're out now. Church attendance is 1.7% of the population. What does that mean? It means 1.7 people out of every 100 you see go to a Church of England church. If you see that 0.7 of a person, do not go near them. They are weird. Never go near a 0.7 of a person. But they're the facts. Now you might say, well, there's Baptists and there's Methodists and there's other churches. They're in a worse state than we are. And I mean that honestly. The bottom has dropped out of the church in this country. But now is the time the Lord says, okay, it's time for this plan now. I've got all these gifts. And over all these years, all these people in the church never asked for these gifts. Why do you think the church is declining? In the New Testament, in Corinth, but in the New Testament, when you read the New Testament, the gifts, the major movements of God and the gifts were given for one reason: to evangelize and plant churches. To speak about Jesus and plant a community. To teach these people to who Jesus was and to be filled with the Spirit and then teach them how to tell other people about Jesus. And a group of them would go from here to there and plant a church. And that group of people would, and then they'd move on and then they'd get big and get a bit lazy, and then persecution would come, the bad guys would come along, and they'd all have to scatter. And then they'd move somewhere and somebody take them into their home and they say, what are you doing? Well, I've had to come from this place because I have a faith in somebody called Jesus Christ. Who have heard about Jesus Christ? Who is Jesus Christ? And they'd share their faith, and this person would come to faith, and the whole household would, and they'd get baptized. And there we go. And the gifts were given for that reason. And so I believe now is the time that God is saying, this is it. Who's up for it? Who's up for this? Who's up for this adventure? And I think it's us. I think it's you. Tools for the task. Who's up for that? I think we are. Two ways we receive these, and I'll finish with this, and I'll get the band out in a moment. There's two ways, and it's this. Number one way is increase the expected. In other words, you are good at something already. You are have some gifting, some natural gifting, natural inverted commas, whatever it is, and actually, God speaks into it and increases that. Trisha is a great example. I'll give you two examples from my family. Trisha is one of them. 20-odd years ago, we were at a very small conference somewhere, and Trisha's always been good at hospitality, just making people welcome in our home and in the church, always been good at that. And she was helping on the hospitality on this conference. And the guy who came in to speak, and he didn't know this, he was a complete stranger, fantastic prophetic gift. And he stood at the front of this conference and he said, right, God's giving gifts now. And he went, lady at the back there, and Trisha was kind of at the back, kind of, yeah, you there. And it's one of those things when you go, what, me? And when you're on the back row, there's nobody else, is there? So she went, and he went, you, madam, God is giving you a gift now, and you will provide hospitality in the years to come for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of leaders. And Trisha went, I don't know what she went, because I was somewhere else. But I thought, it's my wife. And in that, he said, God's given you that gift right now. So you, at the end, you need to come forward and seal that with prayer. And so she did. From that moment on, since that moment, we've hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of leaders have not just been through our home, but she provided hospitality and trained up teams to do that for leaders. So that's the increase the expected. It's you've got something already, but God increases it. The second way is release the unexpected gift. You don't expect it at all. You don't know what he's going to give you, and he goes, have that, bam. And then something happens in your life. The second example is Becca, who is our daughter. Becca is 15 years old, the same conference. She's 15 years old. She comes on this conference, and at the time, Becca was playing block chords on a keyboard, and she sat down in the corner, and this guy went, there's a young woman down there, red wrist strap, a watch strap. And it's red, like everybody else has got boring brown watch straps, and Becca's got red. And he went, yeah, you. And this is what he said to her. He said, God's given you a gift right now, and you will lead worship in front of thousands of people. God has given you a gift to lead people in worship into his presence, and he's given you that gift right now. Becca has led she's led thousands at conferences in this country. That's how God gives it. But that was unexpected. If you said to Tricia, hospitality, yeah, well, I'm good at that. Well, great, I need to do more. But yeah, if you'd said to Becca, you're going to lead worship in front of thousands, she said, I don't think so. At the time, she's like up near the back of the worship little band we got in this church playing block chords. So you increase the expected and release the unexpected. And the reason we can do that is this truth here. Each person is given something to do. Remember, you don't come to church to be entertained. You come, you're part of church, to be equipped. Whether you've been coming to church or being part of church for a week or a day, God will use you straight away. The sad thing is I've seen people in church who've been coming to church for years and years and years, and they just didn't know that God wanted to use them. Well, that's what he wants to do tonight. Everyone. Each person is given something to do that shows who God is. Everyone gets in on it. Everyone benefits. All kinds of things are handed out by the Spirit and to all kinds of people. That's us. That's what we do. And that's how we build communities here, which is our vision this year.